Welcome back to the Torah. Torah 101. Today we will be covering some ground, finishing the parasha called Matot, and also reading through the final portion of the book of Numbers called Masa'eh, which means stages. The final portion giving us the history of the 39 years between leaving Egypt and now standing at the edge of the water of the Jordan River, ready to cross in to the Promised Land. So we will be reading through the bulk of it, not getting into too much depth. And then we will begin the amazing book of Deuteronomy, Devarim, tomorrow. Numbers 32, verse 20. Moshe said to them, "If you will do this, if you will arm yourselves to go before Adonai to the war, and if every one of your soldiers will cross the Jordan before Adonai until he has driven out his enemies ahead of him, and if the land has been conquered before Adonai, and only after that do you return, then you will be clear before Adonai and before Israel, and this land here will be yours to possess before Adonai." Moshe here is exhorting the leaders of the tribes of Reuben and Gad that they should not do what they want to do for selfish gain, but that they would keep their word, that they would stand in the gap and fight for Israel, and that they would not fall back into just simply looking out for their own agricultural needs in business. Verse 23, "But if you will not do this, then you have sinned against Adonai, and you must understand that your sin will find you out. Build cities for your little ones and enclosures for your sheep. Then do what you said you would do." Notice Moshe reverses the order as we discussed yesterday. How the descendants of Reuben and Gad had initially come forward saying, "We want to build enclosures for our sheep, and then cities for our little ones," putting the needs of their businesses ahead of their families. Here Moshe turns it around. Verse 25, "The descendants of Gad and the descendants of Reuben said to Moshe, 'Your servants will do as my Lord orders. Our little ones, wives, flocks, and all our livestock will be there in the cities of Gilad. But your servants will cross over, every man armed for war, before Adonai to do battle, as my Lord says.'" So they are willing, come with the rest of the camps of Israel and fight. So Moshe gave orders concerning them to Eleazar the Kohen, Yehoshua the son of Nun, and the clan leaders of the tribes of the people of Israel. Moshe said to them, "If the descendants of Gad and of Reuben cross over the Jordan with you, every man armed for battle before Adonai, and if the land is conquered before you, then you are to give them the land of Gilad as theirs to possess." That is the land on the east side of the Jordan River. "But if they do not cross with you armed, they are to possess land along with you in Canaan." The descendants of Gad and of Reuben answered, "We will do as Adonai has said to your servants, we will cross over into the land of Canaan armed before Adonai, and the land we will possess for inheritance will be on this side of the Jordan. We drop down to verse 39. The descendants of Machir, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and conquered it, dispossessing the Amori, or the Amorites, who were there. Moshe gave Gilead to Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he lived in it. Yair, the son of Manasseh, went and captured its villages and called them Havot Yair, meaning the villages of Yair. Novach went and captured Kinat with its villages and named it Novach after himself. Now we move into the final parasha of the book of Numbers, Masa'ei, which means stages. These are the stages, chapter 33, verse 1. In the journey of the people of Israel, as they left the land of Egypt, divided into groups under the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. Moshe recorded each of the stages of their journey by order of Adonai. Here are the starting points of each stage. So we're told that Moshe kept track of the history, where they moved from, where they moved to, along the 39 years. It is amazing that since the Exodus from Egypt, we have covered a span of around 39 years up until this point, and the book of Deuteronomy will cover the final 1 year. Verse 3, they began their journey from Ramses in the first month, on the 15th day of the first month, the morning after the Pesach, or Passover. The people of Israel left proudly in view of all the Egyptians, while the Egyptians were burying those among them whom Adonai had killed, all their firstborn. Adonai had also executed judgment on their gods. The people of Israel moved on from Ramses and camped at Sukkot. Keep in mind that there, all around Moshe, is the next generation, the younger generation who were born while in the wilderness, that didn't know Egypt. So much of what we read here is for their benefit, catching them up, reminding them of the history, as will be Deuteronomy also. It'll be a retelling of the law, a retelling of the commandments, a retelling of the history with the next generation in view for their sake. Verse 6, they moved on from Sukkot and camped at Etam by the edge of the desert. They moved on from Etam and turned back to Pi Hahirot in front of Baal Zephon and camped before Migdol. They moved on from Pene Hahirot, passed through the sea to the desert, continued 3 days' journey into the Etam desert, and camped at Marah. They moved on from Marah and came to Elim. In Elim were 12 springs and 70 palm trees. So they camped there. They moved on from Elim and camped by the Sea of Suf, the Red Sea. They moved on from the Sea of Suf and camped in the Tsin Desert. They moved on from the Tsin Desert and camped at Dofka. They moved on from Dofka and camped at Alush. They moved on from Alush and camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. The emphasis here on the movement of the ancient Jewish people. Imagine if we kept this list going beyond this era in our history. How many more nations? Did we stay for a while and then, usually by force, had to move on and keep moving? It is only today, in the days that we live in, that Israel, the people of Israel, once again have a permanent homeland. We don't have to be moved on anymore. They moved on from Rephidim, verse 15, and camped in the Sinai Desert. They moved on from the Sinai Desert and camped at Kivrot Hatava. They moved on from Kivrot Hatava and camped in Hatzerot. They moved on from Hatzerot and camped at Ritma. They moved on from Ritma and camped at Rimon Peretz. They moved on from Rimon Peretz and camped at Livna. They moved on from Livna and camped at Risa. They moved on, and notice the emphasis of they moved on, they moved on, they moved on, they moved on. You could almost say those words, they moved on, summarize our history throughout the ages. They moved on, they moved on. They moved on into Germany, France, England, but they had to move on. They moved on into Eastern Europe, Poland, Ukraine. They moved on to New York. Verse 22, they moved on from Risa and camped at Kehillah. They moved on from Kehillah and camped at Mount Shefer. They moved on from Mount Shefer and camped at Haradah. They moved on from Haradah and camped at Machalot. They moved on from Machalot and camped at Tachat. They moved on from Tachat and camped at Terach. They moved on from Terach and camped at Mitkah. They moved on from Mitkah and camped at Hashmonah. They moved on from Hashmonah and camped at Moserot. They moved on from Moserot and camped at Bnei Yakan. They moved on from Bnei Yakan and camped at Hor Hagidad. They moved on from Hor Hagidad and camped at Yotvata. They moved on from Yotvata and camped at Avronah. They moved on from Avronah and camped at Etzion Gever. They moved on from Etzion Gever and camped in the Sin Desert, that is Kadesh. They moved on from Kadesh and camped at Mount Hor, at the border of the land of Edom. At Adonai's order, Aaron the Kohen went up on Mount Hor, and he died there on the first day of the fifth month of the 40th year after the people of Israel had left the land of Egypt. Aaron was 123 years old when he died on Mount Hor. The Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in the Negev in the land of Canaan, had heard that the people of Israel were coming. So they moved on from Mount Hor and camped at Salmonah. They moved on from Salmonah and camped at Punon. They moved on from Punon and camped at Ovot. They moved on from Ovot and camped at Leye Havarim at the border of Moab. They moved on from Elim and camped at Divon Gad. They moved on from Divon Gad and camped at Almon Divlataim. They moved on from Almon Divlataim and camped in the Avarim range in front of Nevo. They moved on from the Avarim range and camped in the plains of Moab by the Yarden across from Jericho. Their camp by the Yarden extended from Beit HaYeshemot all the way to Avel HaShittim in the plains of Moab. Verse 50. Adonai spoke to Moshe in the plains of Moab by the Yarden across from Jericho. He said to tell the people of Israel, when you cross the Yarden into the land of Canaan, you are to expel all the people living in the land from in front of you. Destroy all their stone figures destroy all their metal statues and demolish all their high places. Drive out the inhabitants of the land and live in it, for I have given the land to you to possess. You will inherit the land by lot, according to your families. You are to give more land to the larger families and less to the smaller ones. Wherever the lot falls to any particular person, that will be his property. You will inherit according to the tribes of your ancestors. But if you don't drive out the inhabitants of the land from in front of you, then those you allow to remain will become like thorns in your eyes and stings in your sides. They will harass you in the land where you are living. And in this event, I will do to you what I intended to do to them. Chapter 34, verse 1, Adonai told Moshe to give this order to the people of Israel. When you enter the land of Canaan, it will become your land to pass on as an inheritance. The land of Canaan is defined by these borders. And I will summarize the borders of Israel given here in the book of Numbers. A huge area of land stretching down into portions of Egypt, stretching across, of course, what is today modern-day Jordan, parts of modern-day Lebanon, parts of modern-day Syria. Smaller than the outline in Genesis chapter 15 that was given to Abraham, yet still a massive piece of land. Adonai said to Moshe in verse 16, "These are the names of the men who will take possession of the land for you: Eleazar the Cohen and Yehoshua the son of Nun." So here we have the two appointed leaders to lead the next generation. Eleazar, of course, the son of Aaron, and Yehoshua, the son of Nun, who has been the assistant to Moshe. Younger men. Also appoint one leader from each tribe, verse 18, to take possession of the land. The names of these men are: from the tribe of Yehuda, Caleb, the son of Yufna; from the tribe of the descendants of Shimon, Shmuel, the son of Ahimud; from the tribe of Binyamin, Elidad, the son of Kislon; from the tribe of the descendants of Dan, a leader, Buki, the son of Yogli; from the descendants of Joseph; from the tribe of the descendants of Manasseh, a leader, Hanael, the son of Ephod; from the tribe of the descendants of Ephraim, a leader, Kemuel, the son of Shiftan; from the tribe of the descendants of Zebulun, a leader, Elitzaphan, the son of Parach; from the tribe of the descendants of Issachar, a leader, Paltiel, the son of Azan; from the tribe of the descendants of Asher, a leader, Ahihud, the son of Shlomi; from the tribe of the descendants of Naphtali, a leader, Padael, the son of Amihud. These are the ones whom Adonai ordered to divide the inheritance among the people of Israel in the land of Canaan. Chapter 35, verse 1, in the plains of Moab, by the Yarden, across from Jericho, Adonai said to Moshe, "Order the people of Israel to give the Leviim, the Levites, cities to live in from the heritage they will possess. And you are also to give the Leviim some of the open land surrounding the cities. They are to have the cities to live in, while their open land will be for their livestock, for growing crops, and for all their animals. The open land around the cities you give to the Leviim is to commence at a line drawn around the city wall, 1,500 feet outside it, and is to extend outward from there. Measure 3,000 feet outward from the city wall to the east, south, west, and north, with the city in the center. The space between the 1,500-foot line and the 3,000-foot line will be their open land around the cities. The cities you give to the Levi'im are to be the six cities of refuge to which you permit the person who kills someone to flee to, plus an additional 42 cities. Thus you will give the Levi'im 48 cities with their surrounding open land. So in the possession of the Levites, the spiritual leaders, the representatives of God, His servants, were to be these cities of refuge, where if you committed manslaughter, in other words, if you accidentally killed someone, not murder, but accidentally killed someone, rather than your blood being avenged by a family member of the deceased, you could run to a city of refuge where you would be protected and under the care of the Levites. Then these following verses discuss what is considered accidental and what is considered actual murder. Down to verse 26, but if the killer ever goes beyond the limits of the city of refuge he fled to, and the next of kin avenger finds him outside the limits of his city of refuge, and the avenger kills the killer, he will not be guilty of the man's blood, because he must stay in his city of refuge until the death of the Kohen Hagadol, the high priest. But after the death of the Kohen Hagadol, the killer may return to the land he owns. These things shall constitute your standard for judgment through all your generations wherever you live. Verse 30, if anyone kills someone, the murderer is to be put to death upon the testimony of witnesses. But the testimony of only one witness will not suffice to cause a person to be put to death. Also, you are not to accept a ransom in lieu of the life of a murderer condemned to death. Rather, he must be put to death. Likewise, you are not to accept for someone who has fled to his city of refuge a ransom that would allow him to return to his land before the death of the Kohen. In this way, you will not defile the land in which you are living, for blood defiles the land. And in this land, no atonement can be made for the blood shed in it, except the blood of him who shed it. No, you are not to defile the land in which you live, and in which I live, for I, Adonai, live among the people of Israel. We will drop down to verse 13, Numbers 36. These are the mitzvot and rulings which Adonai gave through Moshe to the people of Israel in the plains of Moab by the Yarden across from Jericho. And those are the final words of the book of Bamidbar, Numbers. Tomorrow we begin Deuteronomy. This has been Torah 101 Daily.